risk affairs, the fact that there has been nothing in the information we've seen over the past several days has given rise to suggest that in the next couple of days we should go to a higher level of alert.
Ridge, who was in Philadelphia, says extra care is being taken to protect national treasures such as the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. He adds that he's not concerned that there will be any sort of trouble over the extended holiday weekend. A key suspect in the May 12th bombings in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, has blown himself up during a police manhunt. According to a ministry official, Turki Nasser al-Dandani died early this morning. His name was at the top of a list of 19 suspected al-Qaeda militants that was put out just days before the May bombings. 35 people were killed in the blasts, including 8 Americans. Arabiya Satellite Television said Dandani used a hand grenade to kill himself and two other suspected militants after their safe house was surrounded by police. A fourth suspect was wounded in the incident but later surrendered to police. Dandani's death comes a week after the mastermind of the Riyadh bombings gave himself up to authorities.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
The U.S. is offering a $25 million reward for information leading to the arrest of Saddam Hussein and for information showing proof of his death. The top U.S. administrator in Iraq, Paul Bremer, is set to announce the new reward today. Saddam's two sons also have a bounty on their heads, with $15 million being offered for a similar information about either. An announcement expected from President Bush as soon as today could result in hundreds of U.S. soldiers landing in the middle of civil war-torn Liberia. But Maryland Democratic Congressman Ben Cardin says sending a peacekeeping force into the West African nation is something that we shouldn't be rushed into.
We have to be very cautious before we commit our troops. But I think the president's going about it the right way. Let's see what the plan is. We're working with the international community. We have a responsibility to work with the international community to protect human rights around the world.
The Pentagon has reportedly put together a plan to use as many as 2,000 troops. Many of the forces could come from Europe or even from the reserves. Just yesterday, President Bush called on Liberia's leader Charles Taylor to step down, saying it's the only way to achieve stability. In an interview with CBS News, Taylor said he has no choice but to step down to honor the order of a man he called, quote, the president of the world. He also said he would welcome international peacekeepers into the region.
Where are you gonna be on July the 6th?
Sitting on the couch with a bag of chips.
What's so great that's on TV?
Mail call with Army or me.
Who's call?
Your call.
Mail call.
Best of all.
That's right, soldier. The season premiere of Mail Call is live from the Gulf. So, you'd better be darn sure you're watching, because I don't want to have to rip you a new place to keep your remote. Now, fall in. Let the folks know and make it clear.
Sunday, the night of the season premiere.
Mail Call premieres this Sunday night at 10, 9 central on the History Channel.
Police in California fear a missing 4-year-old boy may be the son of Oscar De La Hoya. Sergeant Rick Martinez of the Anaheim Police Department says the boy and his 32-year-old mother were last seen at a mall over the weekend.
At this point, we have not determined paternity. It has been reported to the police that there may be a relationship between Devin De La Hoya and the boxer Oscar. However, it's important that we note that at this point, we have not confirmed that.
Sergeant Martinez says Angelique McQueen and her son Devin De La Hoya vanished from the Tyler Mall in Riverside on Saturday. McQueen's car was recovered from the parking lot, and Martinez says police found no signs of foul play. He's asking that anyone with information about the disappearance contact authorities immediately. Here's the latest numbers on Wall Street. The Dow is down 38.50. The Nasdaq is down 5.5, and the S&P 500 is down almost 6 points. I'm Darren Copeland for IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting across the United States on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from the dark depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, and streaming live on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, and archived at whiterosesociety.org. Boy, we have a lot of stuff to cover today. It's going to be a fascinating day. Some really interesting guests. There's just so much. We live, you know, the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. We live in interesting times. And frankly, I think this is an extraordinary time of transition. I remember each one of our three children when they were born, it always seemed just before birth like it was a really difficult thing. And of course, it's a lot easier for me to talk about this than probably for Louise. But afterwards, you know, it's like you get through that stuff and boom, I mean, there's a baby there or something. You know, I really feel like the United States is on the verge of a real significant transition. And I frankly believe it's going to be a positive transition. There's so much energy out there. I mean, look at, you know, $7 million for Howard Dean, this guy who's like an unknown. I mean, from a little state with only 600,000 people. And look at the rising discontent. President Bush yesterday, this is from The Guardian in the UK. Of course, it's on and another one in The Washington Post. It's all over. President Bush yesterday taunted the Iraqi groups waging a guerrilla war against U.S. and British troops, saying, "Bring them on," and vowing that the coalition would not be forced into an early departure. The gesture of presidential bravado, says The Guardian, came amid declining public enthusiasm for military involvement in Iraq as American casualties continue to mount long after Mr. Bush declared the war over. Today, by the way, is day 105 in the search for weapons of mass distraction. The U.S. has we know the weapon of mass distraction. It's George Bush. The weapons of mass destruction, I guess, is what we're looking for. 196 soldiers have died, a third of them, since the president's victory speech on board the Abraham Lincoln. This is just so sad. I mean, as one of the commentators said on CNN last night, people all over the country are going, "Oops, big oops," about Bush saying this. You know, just shooting from the hip, Mr. Macho. 1-800-TALK. Yes, is our number today. 1-800-825-5937. We're going to get into the question of what are the consequences of Bush lying to Americans and the world about weapons of mass destruction. We're going to have at the bottom of the hour somebody on who I think is going to be basically apologizing for Bush or saying that it's no big deal. I want to set that up with some information about that. First, though, we have Susan in Detroit who's called to 1-800-TALK. Yes, Susan, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I love your program, and I'm calling to share some information regarding your show yesterday. You were talking about Mein Kampf, and it certainly seems like our governments, the people that are taking over our government, are using Mein Kampf to do it. And I came across yesterday a website where two women, or three women actually, who have been involved in a battering incident of one of the people that writes articles, that wrote articles, nasty articles, and had something to do with John Foster's death, him killing himself, and was happy about it. He battered one of the women, and they have a website about it. But what is interesting is that there's a letter from the mother, and both of these women, the mother and the daughter, have been involved in the libertarian movement all their lives. And now,
yeah, Susan, I don't think we can vilify the libertarians with, you know, one particular example. But what's the point?
I'm trying to reveal to the audience what they're revealing as the people that are high up in the libertarian movement and writing articles for Richard Mellon-Skaife are also studying Hitler's speeches.
Yeah.
And sleep with a loaded gun in their bed, apparently. And this website is brilliant. It's very instructional for people that want to know more about the right or just want to become informed. We don't want to hate anybody, but we want to know why they've done what they've done, all the lies that we have in our newspapers.
Susan, if you could post that on our website, on our message board, if you go to TomHartmann.com or TomHartmannShow.com and click on message board, it'll take you to an area where you can actually post things. And folks from time to time post websites on there of interest to other people. I don't want to, you know, promote a particular website on the air here. But if you could go to that and post it, there's a lot of people who read that. We've got, 20,000 messages posted on there now. So it will be available to folks. TomHartmannShow.com. Susan, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Former Lilly chief will aid AIDS. And yeah, there are some weird folks out there. I'm reluctant to indict the entire, particularly the libertarian groups, who I think are by and large well motivated but misguided. But they're certainly on the hard right. There are some. Anyway, former Bush named Randall Tobias, former chief executive of Eli Lilly and Company, the head of a drug company, to head his new $15 billion program to battle AIDS in Africa and the Caribbean. Incredible. The AIDS thing in Africa and the Caribbean, money for the drug companies is what it boils down to. They've said that they're going to use American drug companies, not the cheap generics, and it's basically just a welfare program for the drug companies. And then he appoints the former CEO of Eli Lilly to run the thing. It's like, wow. Civics lessons in America. One in four fourth graders, according to this article in today's Associated Press, think that the 4th of July marks the end of the Civil War. And three out of four fourth graders cannot name which part of government passes the law. Most of them think it's the president. There is such a contrast between this administration and the way things are going right now, and the way things, what I remember as a kid, and I know people say, oh, geez, when I was young, things were different. But they really were. In any case, I had a Kennedy clip here, but it's just going to take too long to get to it. I want to go through George Bush's rationale for this war and just lay out what many are now saying are just plain old flat-out blatant lies and misleading attempts to associate Iraq and Saddam Hussein with 9/11. This is all from one speech, and it's actually in the order in which it occurred in the speech. Let's listen to George Bush laying this out. First of all, he says Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Says it unequivocally.
As a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War, the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop all support for terrorist groups. The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations. It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
Then he goes on.
As a condition for ending the.
Hang on here. Then he goes on to tie that into 9/11 in people's minds, even though he knew at the time that not only did Iraq have nothing to do with 9/11, but that Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden hated each other, that Saddam Hussein ran the only secular government in the Middle East, which made Osama crazy. But nonetheless, Bush tries to deceive us here into thinking that there's a connection in the same speech.
We must also never forget the most vivid events of recent history.
In NLP, this is referred to as creating a visual. You're actually making people hallucinate or imagine something, creating a visual image in their mind which will imprint.
On September the 11th, 2001, America felt its vulnerability, even to threats that gather on the other side of the earth.
So then he goes on to say, well, okay, folks say, or, you know, there's a bunch of bad countries out there. Why should we go after Iraq? And by the way, I don't want to forget to talk about Liberia and all the oil that's around Liberia, but we'll get to that a little later. Anyhow, he says, why should we go after Iraq? He doesn't mention the fact that they're sitting on 10% of the world's oil. Instead, he says,
first, I'm asked why Iraq is different from other countries or regimes that also have terrible weapons.
But no oil.
While there are many dangers in the world, the threat from Iraq stands alone because it gathers the most serious dangers of our age in one place.
Then he says, why should we wait to go after them?
If we know Saddam Hussein has dangerous weapons today, and we do, does it make any sense for the world to wait to confront him as he grows even stronger and develops even more dangerous weapons?
Not only does he have dangerous weapons, he has massive stockpiles that can kill millions.
This is a massive stockpile of biological weapons that has never been accounted for and is capable of killing millions. We know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemical agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, VX nerve gas.
This is the grand setup here. Then he says, and now at this time they knew that Iraq had one balsa wood model airplane. And this he calls a UAV, an unmanned aerial vehicle, and says that they could hit the United States with this thing that couldn't fly 40 yards.
We've also discovered through intelligence that Iraq has a growing fleet of manned and unmanned aerial vehicles.
Of course, the manned ones we'd all taken out. We totally destroyed their air force. That's why calling this thing a war is almost a joke.
It could be used to disperse chemical or biological weapons across broad areas. We're concerned that Iraq is exploring ways of using these UAVs for missions targeting the United States.
Targeting us, the United States. Here, this is saying there is a clear and present danger, an imminent threat. He goes on to say that they're trying to build nuclear bombs. Again, at this time, his intelligence service already knew that the aluminum tubes that Iraq had bought were for rockets, for these 150-kilometer rockets that they were allowed to have, and could not be used for processing uranium. Yet, nonetheless, the president said,
Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons. If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
So let me pause this here for just a second. We've got a break coming up, but we've got two other short clips. Bush setting this thing up. And what are the consequences of Bush in this way, lying not only to the American people, but to the world? The consequences for the United States, the consequences for democracy all around the planet. You're with the Tom Hartman Program, where our vision is hope. Our vision and hope is liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When when the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. What are the consequences of George Bush lying to the American people and the world about weapons of mass destruction? I think there's enough evidence in now that we can safely say that they were either he lied to us or somebody lied to him. And it seems like there's quite a number of people in there saying that nobody lied to him. So time. And of course, the Republicans just shot down in a vote in the House of Representatives an investigation into this. Anyhow, we're going through these quotes from Bush prior to the war. Now he, after he's talked about the aluminum tubes, the Iraq threat stands alone. What do we know? The massive stockpile that could kill millions, that they've got UAV, unmanned aerial vehicles that can hit the United States. Speaking of a balsa wood model airplane that was found. Now he tries to again make this emotional link. This is to tie this back into trauma. Knowing that people are carrying around this huge emotional trauma, he takes this whole argument and tries to tie it back into this emotion so that to blind people from their logic and fill them with emotion.
We've experienced the horror of September the 11th. We have seen that those who hate America are willing to crash airplanes into buildings full of innocent people.
Now, keep in mind, this entire speech is about Saddam Hussein, and yet he says this. And this is why 46% of Americans, the most recent number polled was 25%, but as many as 46% of Americans believe that there were Iraqis directed by Saddam on those airplanes. Because Bush said it in this speech, talking, and the entire speech was about Saddam.
Our enemies would be no less willing. In fact, they would be eager to use biological or chemical or a nuclear weapon.
And then he wraps this thing up with the specter that LBJ used against Barry Goldwater, the ultimate threat.
Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Wow. Now, John Dean, the former counsel, he's a law professor now, and he was the former attorney for President Nixon, makes this observation. I think it's a very important one. He says, presidential statements, particularly on matters of national security, are held to an expectation of the highest standard of truthfulness. A president cannot stretch, twist, or distort facts and get away with it. President Lyndon Johnson's distortions of the truth about Vietnam forced him to stand down from re-election. President Richard Nixon's false statements about Watergate forced his resignation. Who lied in Iraq? What has been the cost to the United States and to the world? Even George F. Will, one of the stalwarts of the true conservatives, the old conservatives, the what I would call real conservatives, in an article that was published in the Sacramento Bee on June 22nd, just last week. Says, for the president, the missing weapons of mass destruction are not a political problem. Frank Luntz, a Republican pollster, says Americans are happily focused on Iraqis liberated rather than weapons of mass destruction not found, so we, quote, feel good about ourselves, end quote. But, George Will says, unless America's foreign policy is new age therapy to make the public feel mellow, feeling good about the consequences of an action does not obviate the need to assess the original rationale for that action. Until weapons of mass destruction are found, or their absence accounted for, there is urgent explaining to be done. This by George F. Will. Our quote for the day, actually we have two, one from Margaret Thatcher and one from Bob Kerry. Margaret Thatcher says, a lie can get around the world before the truth can even get its boots on. I just heard pieces of that. And Bob Kerry, a presidential candidate, says, I thought dying for your country was the worst thing that could happen to you. I now think killing for your country can be a lot worse, because that's the memory that haunts. And this is the memory we are inflicting on our soldiers. The Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Striking employees of New Jersey's Oyster Creek Power Plant have blown the whistle on what they say are serious safety problems at the nuclear facility. This week, Local 1289 of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers released internal documents detailing problems at the plant's radiation detection systems, along with its fire protection systems and its radioactive waste units. Plant managers have downplayed the significance of the memos, questioning instead the timing of the union's release of the documents. But workers say such safety concerns are one of the primary reasons for their walkout, which has now entered its sixth week.
A wildcat strike of prison cooks at a medium-security correctional facility in Colorado has led to a lockdown in part of the prison. The cooks, who are inmates themselves, notified prison guards at the Sterling Correctional Facility on Tuesday that they wouldn't be serving meals in protest of a cut in their wages, which went into effect with the start of the new fiscal year on Wednesday. Inmate workers used to receive up to $2 a day for their labor. They will now make 60 cents. The guards are trying to pin down the strike organizers, who, if caught, could be placed in segregated cells or transferred to a maximum security prison as punishment.
A massive strike of more than 1 million government employees brought life as usual in the Indian state of Tamil Nadu to a screeching halt this week with no end in sight. Unions representing public workers in the southern Indian province called the walkouts after government ministers unexpectedly slashed pensions and other employee benefits. Government officials say a budget crisis necessitated the cuts. They've invoked India's Essential Services Maintenance Act, which allows the government to arrest, imprison, fine, and fire striking public employees. Already more than 100 strike leaders have been rounded up.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well, shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
No, I won't be afraid. I think good times are coming in the United States. I see a great future. I actually do. We've got people in the Democratic Party who are standing up and speaking out. We actually even have people in the Republican Party who are standing up and speaking out, as George Will just did. People saying, this isn't right. And just because Rupert Murdoch's Republican destruction machine is going on and on, you know, with Fox News, with their rants. I mean, you don't have to watch that stuff. You don't. There is a great possible future for America. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to join us, the telephone number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And if you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to www.tomhartmanshow.com. And click on the chat button. It'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Click on chat, and it'll drop you into the chat room. Got a fine community of folks there who some of the most interesting conversations. And if you want to say something on the air and you don't want to call in, you can say it there and just pop it out in color, and I'll read it on the air. So, for the president,
George Will says, there is urgent explaining to be done. Now, in past times, there was great hope. And this is what I see us actually coming back around to this. The extraordinary work that MoveOn.org is doing and things like that. I just want to share with you a clip. This is just a two-minute clip. I realize 2 minutes is a long time on radio, but nonetheless, this is worth it. And, yeah, this is an old one. This is from 1960. It's from the fourth presidential debate between John Kennedy and, hang on just a sec, call into 1-800-TALK-YES. This is from the fourth debate between John Kennedy and Richard Nixon, in which Kennedy talks about his vision for America, what he wants to do, what he sees.
I believe it incumbent upon the next president of the United States to get this country moving again, to get our economy moving again, to set before the American people its goals, its unfinished business, and then throughout the world, appoint the best people we can get, ambassadors who can speak the language.
Now, in that point, when he says we need to appoint ambassadors who can speak the language, and he repeats this a couple of times in this little clip, what he was talking about was the fact that the Republicans had had this, basically they were selling ambassadorships, as this administration is doing right now. Whoever contributed the most money to the campaign got to be the ambassador. And one of the things that Kennedy did was he said, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to appoint people who actually speak the language of the country we're sending them to, who actually understand the culture, and who can actually represent the interests of the United States, rather than simply pay off people for big campaign donations, which, of course, is back what we're back to right now.
Not merely people who made a political contribution, but who can speak the language. I believe that this party, Republican Party, has stood still, really, for 25 years, its leadership has. It opposed all of the programs of President Roosevelt and others, for minimum wage and for housing, economic growth and development of our natural resources, the Tennessee Valley, and all the rest.
Boy, isn't it incredible how what goes around comes around. The Republicans, you have to admit, have been very consistent. I mean, ever since the 1870s, representing the interests of very big business, not even small business people, but very big business and extreme wealth.
And I believe that if we can get a party which believes in movement, which believes in going ahead, then we can reestablish our position in the world. Strong defense, strong and economic growth, justice for our people, guarantee of constitutional rights, so that people will believe that we practice what we preach. And then, around the world, particularly to try to reestablish the atmosphere which existed in Latin America at the time of Franklin Roosevelt. He was a good neighbor in Latin America because he was a good neighbor in the United States.
This is a really important point. He's pointing out that we set the example for the world, that people will think well of us if we treat our own people well, if we have justice in the United States, if we hold up high internal values, then other countries will not be terrified of us, but will welcome us. Is that what we're doing now with this administration? I think not.
Because they saw us as a society that was compassionate, that cared about people, that was moving this country ahead. I believe it's my responsibility as the leader of the Democratic Party in 1960 to try to warn the American people that in this crucial time we can no longer afford to stand still.
And that's where we're at again. This has come all the way back around. We can no longer afford to stand still, particularly the Democratic Party.
We can no longer afford to be second best. I want people all over the world to look to the United States again, to feel that we're on the move.
Now, I want to say, even though I'm quoting John Kennedy here, there are other folks on this side who are saying the same things. I've been kind of going off here into Kennedy land for a few minutes, waiting for our guest to get on. We had kind of gooped up here internally. Charles R. Smith is a cyber war columnist, one of America's leading experts on cyber technology and its implications for war and terrorism and every way that technology interacts with our lives. He's an exclusive columnist for Newsmax as its cyber war expert and is currently president and CEO of Software, his own consulting company. Charles, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, thank you for having me on board. I appreciate it.
Great. I'm glad you're here. I just lost your bio here. The war games that we see. Tell me about this situation that you're seeing here with cybersecurity.
Well, right at the moment, we actually have a threat on the horizon. Apparently, there is a published threat that has been circulating for Sunday to essentially a contest for hackers to deface as many websites as possible. This is not an unusual event, and it hasn't really raised too many alarm bells throughout the community. It does kind of seem to be very poorly organized, and the so-called prize for this event was 500 megabytes of free space, which is nothing. That's kind of ridiculous.
This is something that's probably getting more PR than it's worth.
Yeah, if you're smart enough to hack into, say, you know, the Homeland Security website, then you're smart enough to hack into a major corporation and snatch a good gigabyte of data or
right.
space to use.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. We're speaking with Charles R. Smith.
Any application.
Yeah, we're talking with Charles R. Smith of Cybermax.com. Charles, what are the consequences of George Bush lying to Americans and the world about weapons of mass destruction?
Well, you know, I kind of disagree with the way that you phrased the question. Lying is really not a nice way of putting it. Frankly,
I don't think killing people is nice either, George.
Well,
Charles, I'm sorry.
You know, the way that the situation went with Iraq, even the UN, even the French, the Chinese, the Germans, the British all agreed under 1441, which was last November, that the Iraqis were trying to hide weapons of mass destruction.
Now, let's pause right there, Charles. Charles, may I interrupt you for a moment, please?
I'm listening.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is probably the fourth time I've heard almost that verbatim phrase from various Republicans in the last 4 days, ever since it was in the RNC notes last weekend. And it's not true. I have Resolution 1441 right here in front of me, and would be glad to read you some of the contents of it. But the point of it is very explicitly that 1441 was to determine if there were weapons of mass destruction. And in fact, the president of France, Jacques Chirac, threatened to veto a subsequent resolution because he said explicitly that he was unconvinced that there were any weapons of mass destruction. Russia said that they were unconvinced there were any. China said that they were unconvinced.
Let's get back to the actual particulars. The original UN inspections that started in 1991 uncovered about 200 tons of
Resolution 687.
Gas. No, we're not talking about resolution. I'm talking about the original UN inspections that began in 91.
Right.
We actually have a guy back in there, David Kay, who was running the U.S. section back then, and he is more than enough familiar with what we actually uncovered. We actually found anthrax. We found nerve gas. We found a uranium reprocessing.
And then we went in and we destroyed that stuff, Charles.
Not all of it. Not nearly as much as we would like.
We destroyed all that we could find.
Not necessarily. There was still vast quantities of substances that were declared in existence, and in the Iraqis' follow-up, after they kicked the U.N. inspectors out and then let hands look back
wait
in,
a second.
They didn't
kick the U.N. inspectors out, Charles.
Material.
Charles, stop for a second. When you concatenate things that aren't true. The Iraqis did not kick out the weapons inspectors in 98. Clinton pulled them out so that he could bomb Iraq. They had identified. We interviewed Scott Ritter
either.
On this program, who was in charge of that.
Hold it. The Iraqis had penned up the UN inspectors to the point where they were unable to do anything but stand around in a hotel room.
They did not kick them out. Everybody says, all the Republicans say, oh, they kicked out the inspectors. No, they never did. We withdrew them.
If you want to go back through the facts, the fact is, at the end of 1991... there were undeclared weapons that we had discovered. We noted,
but this is 2003.
Quite clearly, the Iraqis told us we have no nuclear weapons program. 6 months later, we found a nuclear weapons program that was very advanced and had to destroy parts of it. Hey, just past week, we found pieces in the Rose Garden of a uranium diffusion centrifuge. You cannot use that for peaceful purposes. It does not make uranium for nuclear reactor fuel. It only
and it's
makes
been buried for 12 years. You're going to take a handful of stuff up from underneath the rose bush and say that's the reason why we should let 200 American young men and women die?
That's one of a dozen reasons. If you really want to go through like this last war, we've already seen, first and foremost, rockets that exceeded the 150-kilometer range. They were fired.
By how much?
Okay, well, let's see. The longest was ranged out to 210 kilometers.
So this is about 30 miles. These things could shoot about 30 miles longer than they were allowed. That's worth killing 200 American soldiers over.
No, wait a second. Again, I think you're falling apart here because we got to go through the very fact. The very fact is you are underestimating the Iraqi weapons capabilities. I can give you one fine example. How about 12 Mirage F1s, all modified to fly with spraying devices underneath? You don't modify a $20 million Mach 2.
In 2003, those existed?
Perfume.
Charles, are you talking about the stuff that Bill Clinton bombed in 1998?
No, I am talking about what we found. We found more
in
than 2
year?
Dozen MiGs that were
in
modified to carry chemical weapons.
In what year?
This year, the 101st Airborne. And I think the 7th Brigade, when they came across the remaining F-1 Mirages of the Iraqi Air Force,
these have been modified.
We even have a videotape of a Mirage F-1 flying while practicing spraying.
Now, yeah, these are planes that had been destroyed.
You don't modify the most advanced jet fighter you got to spray French perfume or to spray for mosquitoes.
Okay, Charles, let me pause you for just a second here. George Will, who I think has solid conservative credentials, says, and I quote, he says, first of all, for the president, Michigan weapons of mass destruction are not a political problem. He quotes Frank Luntz, who says, Americans are happily focused on Iraqis liberated rather than weapons of mass destruction not found. So we, quote, feel good about ourselves, end quote. Then he says, but unless America's foreign policy is new age therapy to make the public feel mellow, feeling good about the consequences of an action does not obviate the need to assess the original rationale for that action. Until weapons of mass destruction are found or their absence accounted for, there is urgent explaining to be done. Last week, George Will said this. They have not been found. The world said they're not there. We need to continue the inspections.
Once more, you do not modify a $20 million Mach 2 jet fighter to spray for fruit flies. All right, you don't have the Australian Special Forces found at least 90 some odd MiGs out at the
Charles. They were using that stuff against Iran 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
Now look, that stuff should have been destroyed as per regulations, and it should have been declared. Why didn't the Iraqis do that? Instead, they've got a whole airbase with camouflage netting, with MiG-25s, MiG-23s, and Sukhoi Su-22s.
Charles, if this was anything close to a real weapon of mass destruction, it would be all over Fox News.
That's already well documented. That was found along with the French Roland missiles. We didn't find any weapons loaded on board. These are spraying systems.
Okay, so this is not a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, it's about as close as you get. You don't buy a chemical dispersion system and mount it on your most advanced jet fighter unless you have intentions of mixing something and putting in it. And
Charles,
do you
really, seriously, genuinely believe that there are no other nations in the world that are hostile to the United States that have weapons that are more sophisticated than what we've found in Iraq so far?
Did I say that?
Well, that's certainly the implication.
What I'm telling you is what I've been
saying
all along.
That is what George W. Bush said.
Documented all along. We know they have weapons. What we're trying to do, instead of playing an Easter egg hunt and dig up half of Iraq, which, by the way, is as big as California, is we're trying to find the scientists, sit them down, and ask them.
And we've already found them, and they've said, even in the face of torture, that we destroyed that stuff. Bill Clinton nukes the last of it in 98, and there's been nothing built since then.
If they had destroyed that, then they would have immediately declared it as destroyed. They would have taken Hans Blix to the site where it was destroyed. They could have very easily have done all of these things, but instead we had to run around and play games in the desert. It doesn't seem like they destroyed all of
that. So any country in the world that wants to play games with us, we should declare war on?
This case, when you're looking at someone that you have been engaged in combat with for the past 10 years.
Whose butt you totally kicked in 100 hours.
Yeah, and you probably
killed
100,000 plus people. as compared to, like, this time around.
Yeah. Charles, the music means we got a break coming up here. If you want to stick around, we'll be back in about 4 minutes. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're talking with Charles R. Smith of Newsmax.com.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Here's the problem with most test drives. You don't really get to test anything. You go around the block, maybe two if you're lucky, and the whole time a salesman's yapping nonstop, probably to cover up that weird noise that's coming from the engine compartment. Only one car company has the confidence to let you take a car home overnight and drive it on your terms. That company is GM. It's called the 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, to soccer practice, see what your friends think. There's no pressure to buy. It's a big decision. There's a lot of money on the line, and we want you to be totally comfortable with it. Of course, you have to have a driver's license. You have to have insurance. You have to have approved credit. I know, we're real sticklers. Oh, yes, you have to be 21. Just get to a participating dealer by July 21st. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour or call 1-800-508-1050.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this. And
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
The weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Back to the Tom Hartman radio program. We're speaking with Charles R. Smith, a cyber war columnist with Newsmax.com. Mr. Smith's life sounds like a character in a Tom Clancy novel. He's worked with the U.S. government, top secret stuff, war games for the U.S. Army. And if you'd like to call the program here and talk with Mr. Smith, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Brian in Santa Fe is on the line with a comment for the guest. Brian, welcome.
Tom, it's good to talk to you. I have a comment and one question, and then I'll just get off and listen to the reply if I may. But Dennis Kucinich, who's on the House Intelligence Committee, says there's absolutely, unequivocally no evidence of weapons of mass destruction. That's the comment. The question is, how do you juxtapose your guest's viewpoint about these planes that can spray aerosols with a Marine general stating a few weeks back that our general, that there are no weapons, they can't find them, and it's not through lack of trying. Those are public statements. So does this Marine general not understand what a weapon of mass destruction is, or is he wrong?
Okay, Charles?
All right.
Thank you, Brian.
A weapon of mass destruction would be biological, chemical, or nuclear. A aircraft equipped with a spraying device that is empty, in other words, there is nothing in the storage tank, is an aircraft equipped with a spraying device. You can't call that a weapons of mass destruction. It's just like the trailers. Okay, you've got two mobile trailers. What were they making? Aspirin? Tylenol? I don't think so.
Hydrogen, actually.
Yeah.
According to British intelligence.
Yeah, well, you know, hydrogen.
Our ally.
Yeah, all right, hot gas. Let's put it this way. You don't have mobile biological trailers with sophisticated equipment on board. You usually put that in a facility. You have to ask yourself why. And if you want to see the Mirage doing its thing in Iraqi colors, the State Department has a wonderful videotape right up on their own website of it.
Okay, but I think you just said that's not a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, you can go along and spray water, and I know that you could spray French perfume. You could do the entire city of Baghdad in about 20 seconds.
Okay, I think we got some tough questions here. Charles has agreed to stay on over the break. We'll continue with this. If you'd like to call in, 1-800-TALK. Yes, you're listening to the Tom Hartman radio program, where we still honor we the people. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be right back.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland.
President Bush is considering whether to send U.S. peacekeeping troops to Liberia. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer said the decision may take some time. He told reporters this is a matter that will continue to go for some ongoing review. President Bush is being pressured by international calls to send peacekeepers to help enforce a new ceasefire in the West African nation's 14-year civil war. Meanwhile, the Bush administration continues to insist that Liberian President Charles Taylor step down quickly. The FBI has been talking with at least a dozen immigrants with ties to the Middle East over the past week. The effort is a precaution aimed at preventing any potential terrorist attack over the 4th of July weekend, especially in the Lone Star State, where Special Agent Robert Dougham says places like Houston represent a prime target.
I certainly believe that a visible defense, a visible effort, goes a long way in preventing, and we'll continue to do that.
Texas is considered a major candidate for a terrorist attack because of its population and due to the fact that Houston's ship channel is lined with oil refinery operations. But agents insist there's been no specific threat linked to the Houston area. Authorities maintain the public is the country's best security resource and that anyone noting anything or anyone of a suspicious nature should report it to their local law enforcement agency.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The front lawn might be plastic grass and the workers are scrambling, but the Constitution Center in Philadelphia will open tomorrow on July 4th with the Liberty Medal ceremonies. Joe Torsella of the center says it's an impressive tribute to the document that keeps the country going.
I'm excited is one emotion I'm having. relief is probably another, but mostly I'm proud. And I think the region ought to be proud.
The $185 million facility is designed to give visitors an interactive view of the Constitution with high-tech exhibits and stage shows that are centered around the Constitution. Despite facing jail time for alleged insider trading, Martha Stewart is being inducted in the Nutley New Jersey Hall of Fame. But it doesn't come without some controversy. Members of the Domestic Divas Hometown Selection Committee insist they're honoring the woman who graduated from Nutley High School as Martha Kostra and went on to build a multimillion-dollar lifestyle empire. Officials say that under the current circumstances surrounding Stewart, it was a difficult choice.
Where are you going to be on July the 6th?
Sitting on the couch with a bag of chips.
What's so great that's on TV?
Mail call with Army or me.
Who's call?
Your call.
Mail call.
Basketball.
That's right, soldier. The season premiere of Mail Call is live from the Gulf. So, you better be darn sure you're watching, because I don't want to have to rip you a new place to keep your remote. Now, fall in. Let the folks know and make it clear.
Sunday, the night of the season premiere.
Mail Call premieres this Sunday night at 10, 9 Central on the History Channel.
Unionized firefighters in Philadelphia have thrown their support behind Republican Sam Katz for mayor. Union President Tom O'Drain says the decision to support Katz wasn't difficult.
I've had phone calls from my members. I've talked to our people, and their support has been communicated through our online forum on the union website. For months, I've heard it from the firefighters and the paramedics. Back Katz.
O'Drain says Mayor John Street's administration has not given firefighters the respect they deserve. The 4,000-member-strong union didn't make an endorsement in the 1999 campaign. The union representing police officers in the city has come out in support of incumbent Democrat John Street. An African-American firefighters group is breaking ranks and endorsing Street as well. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 44.26, the Nasdaq's down 6.2, and the S&P 500 is down 3.3. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute.
anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags. All ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast and border to border, streaming live on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, Sirius Channel 145. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're talking about what are the consequences of George Bush lying to Americans and the world about weapons of mass destruction. We're speaking with Charles R. Smith, one of America's leading experts on cyber technology and a columnist for Newsmax.com. And we have this little clip here, Charles.
First, I'm asked why Iraq is different from other countries or regimes that also have terrible weapons. While there are many dangers in the world, the threat from Iraq stands alone because it gathers the most serious dangers of our age in one place.
1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937 to be on the program. And Jerry in Bellevue, Washington has a question or comment for Charles. Charles, I'm assuming you're still with us.
I'm still here.
Okay, great. And Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just got onto my favorite internet search engine and just typed in the words Iraq, Clinton, and 1998. And you get a wonderful list of things about attacking Iraq in 1998. A lot of people claiming that Clinton was wagging the dog because, of course, this was during his impeachment, and also a lot of anti-war people being upset with him. But what I found interesting was I found on a U.S. government military site some old press releases. And after the second night of bombings, they said they were concentrating on weapons of mass destruction sites. They had bombed over 75 targets, including 11 weapons of mass destruction in industrial and production facilities. So I kind of think people are just going to have to fall back to their old position here and blame Bill Clinton for there being no weapons of mass destruction found.
Because he took them out. Well, that's what Scott Ritter said on this program a couple of weeks ago, was essentially that's what happened. Charles, your thoughts on that?
Well, once again, if that was indeed the case, it would have been very easy for the Iraqis to take Hans Blix and his teams over to the sites and show them the appropriate facilities, destruction, etc. It would have been a snap, and Hans could have checked it off the list and gone on to the next item. Unfortunately, we didn't see that. What we did see was, for example, the satellite photos of sites being unloaded and then some of the facilities being bulldozed, and then the topsoil, the top 3 feet of it, being taken away for miles into the desert. Now, that
well,
sort
Charles,
of indicates...
sounds
you know,
like an
you know,
industrial
now,
cleanup
the,
to
wait,
me.
Wait, wait. This was published, okay? And I want to make it very clear that while this was taking place, there were decontamination trucks, and the guys that were doing it in the middle of the Iraqi heat were wearing decontamination hazmat suits. Now,
so
why
maybe
would
they
you
were
wear
destroying
a hazmat
weapons of mass
suit in the middle of the desert in the middle of 100-plus degree heat?
Yeah. So, Jerry, thanks for your comment, and thanks for calling in. Perhaps they were destroying weapons of mass destruction. Hans Blix, and I have it here, in his February 14th report to the United Nations, said that there had been significant progress in cooperation and that they had visited many of the sites where anthrax, VX, and missiles had been destroyed, although he still had some concerns about the missiles. In his March 7th report, he was even more positive and noted that disarmament verification would take months rather than weeks or days, but that he was confident it could be done and that they had actually seen many sites where destruction of weapons of mass destruction had happened.
And
I mean, this was an ongoing process.
Right, and
everybody in the world,
now,
except for England,
for
agreed
months,
that
and
this
we haven't
was
even given the guys who are in there, you know, much more than 30 days to go roaming around checking out places. I'm betting that Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. You're betting that he was a good guy. Which
no,
one
I'm not
of us do you think
that.
Is going to make a sure bet on this?
Well, that's not my bet, Charles. I mean, sorry. Charles,
you know,
here's the question.
The whole premise of this is that Saddam Hussein either destroyed or got rid of all of these weapons prior to the war. And, again, with the massive investment, the kind of operations that we documented, that the previous administration documented, even after bombing them, leaves us to believe that there was an awful lot left over. Some of it is probably still there. Some of it may have migrated into other hands. But,
okay,
you know,
so
I think
Scott,
what you're really missing is...
Scott, we just heard from George Bush saying that the threat of Iraq superseded any other country in the world. If it's proven that this administration lied, is this worse than Clinton lying about sex?
Now, let's put it in these terms, something that perhaps you might understand. Why is the Israeli Air Force standing down their fighter pads at the moment? Why are they not keeping an alert?
Oh, that's
force?
Not the question I asked you, Charles.
No, I'm asking you this question. The reason
no, but I'd like you to answer my
don't
question
see
first,
a
please.
Threat from Iraq, and they've made that very clear.
Charles,
now, gee, what would the
you're
Israeli
saying
Air
that
force
the means. You're talking about the ends justifying the means. Charles, if this administration, if it's proven that they lied to us, is that worse than Clinton lying about sex?
Quite clearly, if we even think that Saddam Hussein has a nuclear weapon, we're going to turn that country into glass because they have no alternative. On the other
okay,
hand,
so you're not gonna answer my question.
If we take it out for you, if you take care of this mess, the United States... that's a whole different story. If the Israelis got into a tangle with Saddam Hussein, that would have been World War III.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. Mark, if it's proven that Mark in Santa Fe is on the line. Mark, if it's proven that this administration lied, do you think this is worse than Clinton lying about sex?
Well, yeah, of course. But, I mean, I'd like to tell Charles, and I'm sure he's still listening, and, you know, he has courage to call up and defend the indefensible, but, you know, he's betting that Bush is a good guy, and that's everybody who has paid attention, not to CNN, but to every other news source in the world, knows that Bush is not a good guy. He's a dysfunctional guy. He's now, it's becoming obvious he's a liar, and, you know, you could throw on that murderer because, you know, wars murder people, and if you don't have a quote-unquote just war, whatever that is, you have a murderer. You have people who murder people. Now, I mean, my position is a little more radical maybe even than yours. I don't see any reason why Saddam Hussein shouldn't have weapons of mass destruction. I would like any Republican to debate, or anybody to debate, why Saddam Hussein shouldn't have weapons of mass destruction in comparison to the rest of the people who have weapons of mass destruction.
In other words, why if Pakistan has it, shouldn't Saddam have it? Is that what you're talking about? I mean,
well,
that's a pretty thin argument,
it.
I think,
we
Mark.
Have it. Russia has it. Look what they do in Chechnya. I challenge any Republican listening. Call up. I mean, let's just take it a level higher. Why shouldn't Saddam
have weapons? I can answer your question right now. The Iraqis signed off on an agreement after 1991 stating that they would have no such weapons as part of their truce and the U.N. agreement. That was the reason why
God,
the inspectors...
Oh, my God, you mean they broke
now,
the U.N.?
Wait a second. Now, look, North Korea said they wouldn't have any nuclear weapons, and similarly Pakistan and India. Now, here's the kick. You develop them, guess what? There are certain treaties that become violated. There's the missile control treaty regime. There's the international control and trafficking of arms. There's several nuclear weapons treaties, and they directly affect the economic and political trade that goes on. If you develop those weapons, then you need to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, I think,
Mark, I have to
agree with Charles. I think that when we have, and I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in, Mark. I think that when you have a situation where there's an agreement, where you have international law, essentially, even if it's an agreement that was enforced on Iraq by the fact that they lost a war, in Kuwait, and you know, you could argue that whole thing about why that started in April Gillespie and all that, but nonetheless, even if it's something, it's that's the law, those are the rules, that's the game that we're playing by. But I really want to get back to this question, because this is the thing that I see. You know, George Will is writing about this. We have some very concerned Republicans talking
George
about
Will
this.
Is a very nice political commentator, but he doesn't happen to hang around with weapons inspectors such as myself and Bill Gertz and other people do. And I can tell you right off the bat that, you know, the suspicions about Iraqi weapon systems are more than just ours. I mean, the Germans knew about the centrifuge parts for years. They also knew of an effort during the 1990s to obtain centrifuge technology from Germany illicitly, illegally. The Iraqis are very good. You guys are just not giving them enough credit. They are very good at deception and denial, and they are also some of the best weapons developers in the world. I mean, they have more experience.
Got it, Charles. I got it. I got another question for you. Ann Coulter suggests that everybody in the United States who was opposed to this most recent war is guilty of treason. Do you agree with that?
Oh, of course not. And it's just like I don't agree with the previous caller's premise that George Bush is a murderer, okay? That's kind of ridiculous. This is a free nation. You have your right to say what you want to say. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have the right to tell someone else to shut up or call them a murderer or a Nazi or anything else like that, especially when they're not. So, you know, once again, if you want to go back into the factual basis of what's going on, it's fairly easy to understand why we were nervous about Iraq. All you have to do is call over to Tehran and ask them why they still believe Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Why would the Iranians agree with us? Perhaps it's because they have an experience of this, around 750,000 soldiers killed.
Right. Charles, got it. Hang on just a second. We've got a break coming up in a minute and a half. We've got to wrap this segment up. And Linda in Cupertino, California, has called 1-800-TALK-YES. I want to give her a chance to get her question in and for you to get your answer in before we wrap this up. So, Linda, go ahead.
All I wanted to say is that I believe that no one has a better record at deceiving people than the Bush administration. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. The weapons of mass destruction that Powell said were there and used in front of the UN, they should have been found by now. And the frightening thing that they haven't been found is I suspect that they have been spirited out of the country, who knows, by terrorists. I mean, they're on the open market now.
Okay, thank you, Linda, for that comment. Day 105 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. Charles, we got about 20 seconds. I'll give you the last word here. Charles Smith of Newsmax.com.
Well, you know, like I was saying before, I'm betting on Saddam Hussein being a bad guy, and frankly, I think that's a sure bet.
Okay, great. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate your coming on the program and sharing your thoughts with us and your point of view. Charles R. Smith of Newsmax.com, one of America's leading experts in cyber technology. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden, no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What a wonderful world. And we needed music like that to kind of bring us down from that. You know, it's amazing. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking out on the forests of Vermont here from our Athenwood studio in central Vermont. And life is such a gift. It is just so extraordinary to look out on life. Very quickly, we've got a caller on the line I want to get to in just a second, but Karen J. Alter, who is a professor of political science in Chicago, wrote a piece in the Chicago Tribune last week, June 29th, Iraq, Who Lied? And these are the high costs that she has identified as a consequence of George Bush lying to not just us, but to the world. Number one, the credibility the U.S. has suffered. Number two, people around the world no longer believe that the U.S. is a benign force for change. Number three, the democratic process has been undermined because democracy works best when there's an earnest debate that informs public decision making. Number four, our intelligence system has been compromised. Number five, Americans around the world now face greater risks when they travel or when they work. Number six, we may have set a bad precedent, suggesting that a country can invade any other country when there's an irrational fear. And finally, the integrity of U.S. politics is undermined. When she asks, why aren't the people who wanted to impeach Bill Clinton mobilizing now against George Bush? John in Long Beach has called 1-800-TALK-YES. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What do you think about this?
How are you today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, John?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, this guy, Charles, he comes across as nothing but another Bush crime family mouthpiece. He talks about facts, and he presents none. He deals in vague generalities and innuendo. And when you try to pin him down, he's like a slippery eel.
Yeah.
He just gets right out of your grasp. He would not answer any of your questions with any in-depth answers.
Yeah, his
last sentence was I don't think Hussein was a nice guy. Nobody does.
Right. I mean, it's called misdirection, John.
Yeah, it is.
Interestingly,
it is.
Now, the other thing
I would say, like to say is this.
Okay.
As far as this is my own personal opinion, if it was up to me, everybody in the Bush administration put off in chains, and they would be tried for a high crime and be sent to prison because they have committed legal crimes that are legal crimes and moral crimes. And I just, this is the worst, I'm 71 years old. This is the worst I've ever seen this country in as far as what is happening and us just, we're really in bad shape.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing an absolute moral collapse in Washington, D.C. One of the folks in our chat room, Dave Remnants, is his screen name. You have to come up with a screen name to pop in there. He says, I don't know if somebody already posted this, but Charles is playing that same old right-wing game of tell a lie often enough and someone will believe it's true. And then he quotes from the Cato Institute on the MiGs that Charles kept talking about. Quote, before the Gulf War, said the CIA, Baghdad attempted to convert a MiG-21 into an unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV. One attempt and it failed. In the summary, however, the CIA reported that Iraq maintains several development programs, including for UAV, that most analysts believe probably is intended to deliver biological warfare agents. In other words, it's a big, they tried it once, they never pulled it off.
And if he had all these other jet aircraft, why weren't they used?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's, of course, the question. It's, if this guy had weapons of mass destruction, why aren't we ducking? And thank you, John. I appreciate the call, and you're taking the time to drop in on the show here and share your thoughts with us. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. We're going to speak in the next half hour with somebody who's knowledgeable about depleted uranium and its impact. That's going to be an interesting piece. It's going to be Frieda Berrigan. We'll bring her in right after the news here at the bottom of the hour. And Max Cleland. Max Cleland was in the Senate. He says, I voted for the resolution to go to war because I was told by the Secretary of Defense and the CIA there was weapons of mass destruction there. But there weren't. Here with the Tom Hartman program, where democracy is still alive and well.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
United States has something few other countries enjoy, an abundance of public lands open to everyone. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. One of America's greatest assets is its public lands, according to Michael Dombeck, chief of the U.S. Forest Service during the Clinton administration.
Other nations and other cultures have their icons, the things that they admire. Egypt has its pyramids, and we have our wildlands in the United States as a memorial to the pioneers. This is what shaped the character of the American people, the Davy Crockett's, the Sacagaweas, the Daniel Boones, the Chief Josephs, and this wild land is what it was once like, and I would hope that we have the will to save some of it so our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren can see what this great continent was like.
Dombeck has co-authored a new book, From Conquest to Conservation. It traces the history and the challenges facing America's 500 million acres of national forests, parks, wildlife refuges, and other public lands. Dombeck says more people than ever are visiting parks and forests.
Recreation has been the fastest growing use of public lands really since World War II, and if we think about what's happened to private lands, it helps explain it. We see no trespassing signs posting private lands more and more and more. Therefore, those of us that like to hunt, fish, to hike, canoe, bike, birdwatch, you use public land, and one of the beauties of public land is you don't have to worry about no trespassing signs, and 99% of it is free.
Dombeck worries that we're spoiled, that we take the public lands for granted. He says we need to remind ourselves of the value of this legacy and to protect these treasures for future generations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org and WhiteRoseSociety.org, and broadcasting from the depths of outer space from way up there from the Sirius Radio Satellite System that you can listen to in your car. And now they have actually a home receiver. We're channel 145 if you're listening. We've just been going on for the last hour or so here about the war in Iraq and weapons of mass destruction and all that sort of thing. Let's shift away from the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam may or may not have had and that we certainly have not yet found to weapons of mass destruction that we may have been using and that may even be blowing back at us in as much as they may be harming our own troops. Although I think that our concern for their harm has to extend to the entire community of humanity that's been exposed to them. Frieda Berrigan is a senior research associate with the World Policy Institute and an expert on depleted uranium. Frieda, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks so much, Tom. I'm happy to be here.
I'm pleased to have you here. Frieda, can you tell us what the Pentagon doesn't want us to know about depleted uranium?
Right. You know, the Pentagon doesn't want the American people to know that a weapon that we're using in a war that is ostensibly to liberate the people of Iraq, to free them, is actually a dangerous radioactive and toxic substance that that has that will make the people of Iraq sick, those very people that were supposedly there to protect and to take out from under the yoke of Saddam Hussein's dictatorship, that weapon will make the people of Iraq sick, will poison the water, will poison the land, but that will also be carried home with American troops and make them sick as well. We saw this.
Well, let's first just define terms here, Linda, or I'm sorry, Frieda. It's Frieda, right?
That's
Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes.
Tell us exactly what depleted uranium is.
Sure.
How is it different from just uranium?
Sure. Depleted uranium is a byproduct of the process of enriching uranium to make the fissile material in nuclear weapons. So it's a waste product of the nuclear weapons process. And the United States has thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of metric tons of this stuff lying around. And it's actually a bit of a misnomer to call it depleted uranium, that has some sort of a connotation that it's not that harmful, it's not that dangerous, it's less than uranium. But it is very radioactive, it is very toxic, but unlike, you know, enriched uranium, you wouldn't get sick if you were just standing next to it or, you know, from casual contact with it.
It's about 40% as radioactive as normal uranium, isn't it?
That's correct. That's correct. The way it's used by the Pentagon, it's used as a covering on weapons, on munitions. It's also used as a coating on tanks to shield it. Reason the Pentagon wants to use it so badly and the reason why it does use it because it's really a perfect weapon for slicing through hardened targets, slicing through
heavy thick plate steel.
Exactly. That it cuts through that. Some have described it like a hot knife through butter. So it has this amazing penetrating capability. But when it penetrates, it burns. It's pyrophoric, which means that it catches on fire. And it burns and it disperses this radioactive dust.
Uranium oxide.
Exactly. And then that dust can be ingested by humans. It can be carried in the wind or the water. And then that radioactivity is there essentially forever. Depleted uranium has a half-life of 4.5 billion years.
Billion with a B.
That's billion with a B. That's the lifetime of our solar system, to put that into some sort of perspective, because it's sort of incomprehensible. So that's what depleted uranium is.
If we're speaking with Frieda Berrigan here. She's a senior research associate with the Arms Trade Resource Center, a project of the World Policy Institute, and a military analyst for foreign policy and focus, online at www.fpif.org. And Frieda, I've seen actually several news reports in the last month or so about how Afghanis are testing positive for uranium in their urine and in their blood, very, very high levels, 200-400 times higher than anybody expected, higher than normal, but that it's not the uranium that is characteristic of depleted uranium, that it appears to be, you know, more garden variety uranium, and it's leading to speculation that the U.S. military is using not just depleted uranium, but uranium. And when the Pentagon's been asked about this, they've refused to comment. Do you know anything about this?
Right. We don't know for sure. Right. But as you said, all of the press reports and studies that have been done indicate that something different from depleted uranium has been used in Afghanistan. And while we don't know for sure, you know, the Pentagon continues to stonewall on this, and it's been their modus operandi all the way through this that they've lied, they've equivocated. They, you know, didn't even tell U.S. allies when we were fighting to unseat Slobodan Milosevic in the former Yugoslavia, didn't even tell our NATO allies that we were using depleted uranium there and put Italian and other European troops in danger by using this radioactive and toxic substance. And repeatedly have told U.S. troops that there's nothing to worry about, that this is safe. The Pentagon, in the lead-up to this war, in March of 2003, said that children could eat depleted uranium. It was that safe. So we've seen a real catalog.
The Pentagon actually said that?
They actually said that.
I mean, was this during a briefing or in a news release? Or?
Yeah, a Pentagon official said that it's so safe that children could eat it, that a child would have to eat a mountain of it to see any sort of effect at all.
But just chemically, uranium is toxic. I mean, it destroys the kidneys, doesn't it?
That's correct. Yes. So, I mean, just blatant lies. Lies that blatantly contradict their own studies, Pentagon and military studies of depleted uranium, and contradict a whole library of studies that have been done by European groups. In fact, one Pentagon official went so far as to quote a British study done by the Royal Society, quote that study as saying that depleted uranium is not harmful, when in fact that study says the exact opposite.
The Royal Society got really ripped about that. I mean, they were furious.
They were so furious. And there's nothing they can do because, I mean, they can put out a press release, they can say we were misquoted, but the Pentagon has the largest soapbox, so to speak, in the world. And,
sure, they can just call up Fox News and say we want to do a press release.
That's right.
Frida, what happens? Let's just walk through this very quickly here. What happens exactly when someone gets depleted uranium in their system, if they eat it or if they inhale it? And inhaling, I assume, is the main way that it gets into people's bodies after it's been oxidized.
That's right. So a person inhales it, and a lot of it is actually passed out pretty quickly through the kidneys and through the urine, right? But then some of it passes through the walls of the lung and enters the bloodstream. So you have two sort of points of potential damage, right? You have radioactive material going into the bloodstream and then staying in the body and not leaving. And then you have depleted uranium going through the kidney and then out through the urine. But when it's in the kidney, some of those particles remain in the kidney. That makes that's one of the reasons that the kidney is the real canary in the coal mine of depleted uranium exposure. You look at the kidney first to see if there's potential for a damage there. But because the particles of depleted uranium are very, very fine, some of them stay in the body and then begin to poison a person.
Right. So presumably there's a chemical level of poisoning, sort of like lead and the other elements on the periodic table that are in the actinides, the heavy metals that have their own chemical toxicity by virtue of their interaction with other elements. And then there's also the radiation toxicity. It's blowing off subatomic particles that are damaging DNA and potentially leading to cancer and things like that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Frida Berrigan of the Senior Research Associate with the Arms Trade Resource Center, project of the World Policy Institute, and a military analyst for Foreign Policy and Focus, Foreign Policy and Focus, FPIF.org. Frida, tell us about Gulf War Syndrome. Is there any evidence that Gulf War Syndrome, which seems to have affected, my recollection is, it was between a quarter and a third of all the vets who served in 91 in the Gulf War. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there any evidence to connect that I know people have tried to connect it to the vaccinations and maybe they were exposed to nerve agents and whatnot. But what about depleted uranium? Is that a villain in this?
Sure. The best that we can say at this point is that Gulf War Syndrome is a product of what they call a toxic soup of different agents that U.S. veterans were exposed to in Iraq. And that's the smoke from the oil well fires, the chemical fires, pesticides, vaccinations, and depleted uranium. So no one of those substances has risen to the top as the main culprit. But we have seen that there were almost 700,000 troops that were on the ground in Iraq and in the surrounding area in 1991 during the war. And 186,000 of them have filed for claims with the Veterans Administration. So you have, what is that? It's about a quarter.
It's incredible, whatever it is. It's just absolutely incredible.
And with many of them are complaining of chronic fatigue syndrome, of joint and muscle pain, memory loss, problems having children, birth defects in children that are brought to term, depression, and all sorts of gastrointestinal disorders. So,
and these are the people whose benefits were just recently cut by the Bush administration as part of their cutbacks to pay for their tax breaks for the millionaires.
That's right. But we support the troops. The troops are the ones that we really care about. I mean, the American troops have been the ones that have suffered and continue to suffer in all of this with the cutbacks in benefits. And also the fact, I really want to mention this particular thing, that in 1997, Congress passed a law because they were concerned about the Gulf War syndrome, and concerned because the Pentagon says, well, we weren't able to ascertain the real culprit here because we didn't have any baseline studies. We didn't have any information on the troops as they went into the Gulf. So we had nothing to compare it to when they come back sick.
No baseline.
And so Congress said, okay, well, let's establish a baseline, and enacted this law in 1997 that said that any troops that are deployed anywhere have to give urine and blood samples before they leave and then when they come back. It seems like a very simple, straightforward thing. Of course, troops being deployed go through all sorts of different steps before they get through. are actually put into Iraq or any other part of the world. And it seems like just one more little thing to add to the mix. But it wasn't until quite a few troops were already in Iraq and stationed in the Persian Gulf that Congress found out that the Pentagon wasn't following the law. These troops were being deployed again to the Persian Gulf, which is still, a radioactive debris is still dispersed throughout that country from the first Gulf War in 1991.
So now we may begin to find out something about this. Frieda, is there an upside to this? I mean, what is being done about this? How are people being awakened? Are the families of people who are stationed in Iraq right now and as well as in the Balkans, where we've also dropped this stuff, and in Afghanistan, are they starting to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute? I mean, is there a movement to take on the Pentagon and say, tell us the truth about this, or let's stop using these weapons? Or is this just completely, being covered up and buried? Is there hope here?
Yeah. Yes, there is. And some of the best work is being done by veterans of the first Gulf War and family members of veterans. There's a great organization called the National Gulf War Resource Center, and they've done a lot of really good work on depleted uranium and Gulf War syndrome. There's informal networks of veterans. There's military families against the war in Iraq, which has been really dogging this issue of depleted uranium. As a result of the work of the National Gulf War Resource Center, the fact that the Pentagon wasn't following this 1997 law, that came out. It came out in the mainstream press. It came out in the New York Times. The Pentagon was pushed into a corner and forced to admit that they weren't following the law and promised to do it in the future. So there was this outrage about this, the fact that the Pentagon wasn't following this very simple, very commonsensical law that Congress had passed.
Right. Is there an organization devoted to this, Frieda?
There are quite a few different organizations. There's the Military Toxics Project, which looks at depleted uranium and other toxins that military personnel could be exposed to. They're a really good organization. It's
okay, great. Is there more information on your website, Frieda?
Yeah.
FPIF.org, is that
that's
it?
That's right. Your listeners can go to FPIF.org and find out more. There's an organization called IDUST, which is the International Depleted Uranium Study Team, which has taken it upon itself to go where
is that IDUST, or I'm sorry to interrupt you, Frieda, but we're running out of time.
IDUST.org. And they've done a lot of really good studies of the use of depleted uranium in war zones around the world.
Okay, great. So we can pass the word along to people we know who are in the service or who might be exposed to this, that there are these groups that can provide some information. People can get tested for this. People can perhaps diminish the danger or the damage to themselves. I wonder if chelation therapy and things might... Well, that's a whole other thing. Frieda Berrigan, Senior Research Associate with the Arms Trade Resource Center and also a military analyst for Foreign Policy and Focus, www.fpif.org. Frieda, thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate your joining us. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello!
Hello!
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Where are you going to be on July the 6th?
Sitting on the couch with a bag of chips.
What's so great that's on TV?
Mail call with Army or me.
Whose call?
Your call.
Mail call.
Pass the ball.
That's right, soldier. The season premiere of Mail Call is live from the Gulf. So, you'd better be darn sure you're watching, because I don't want to have to rip you a new place to keep your remote. Now, fall in. Let the folks know and make it clear.
Sunday the night of the season premiere.
Mail Call premieres this Sunday night at 10, 9 Central on the History Channel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad? Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk.
faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty then!
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Have you seen the little biggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little biggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. And the second verse of that is, have you seen the bigger piggies in their starched white shirts? Boy, we're sure seeing them in Wall Street these days, aren't we? First of all, somebody in our chat room had popped up a message that said, I really don't like hearing these right-wing wackos on the radio. And first of all, I think that I'd like to be respectful of folks who disagree with me. So I'll put that in quotes. But secondly, I think that one of the, we say helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense and the radical middle. I am hopeful that I can provide folks, and I'm not so egomaniacal to think that I'm the only one who can do it. There's a lot of good folks out there, and many of our callers actually provide good information. But one of the goals of this program is to provide people with a rebuttal. Because you're going to encounter these people every day in your life if you go out in the real world. I mean, this is half of America now. I mean, Fox News and Hannity and Limbaugh and all these. There's so many people who believe this stuff. And without knowing how to respond, without having a good rebuttal, without having the facts. It's not a major part of our program to have super conservatives on, but it is going to be an occasional part, and I think it's an important part, frankly. And so, that's life. The President of the United States is talking about sending troops into Liberia. If you look on a map of Africa, of West Africa, you discover that Liberia is right next to Sierra Leone, Guinea, Cote d'Ivoire, what used to be called there in English is the Ivory Coast, Ghana, Nigeria is just down the coast. What's this all about? This from the World Press Review, quote, the West African oil rush is in full swing with consequences that will reach down to the southern end of the continent and beyond. The islands and states around the Gulf of Guinea in particular are attracting increased interest from global oil firms and Washington, which seeks to reduce U.S. dependence on Middle East crude. The United States is the world's largest oil consumer. The rate of discovery of new oil reserves in Africa has been the fastest in the world in the past 5 years, according to the U.S. Corporate Council on Africa. West Africa, mainly Angola and Nigeria, now supplies 15% of U.S. oil imports, and U.S. officials project African oil could account for 25% of their country's crude imports by 2015. Wonder why we're sending soldiers where we are? Just look at the news. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Police continue to investigate a suspicious device found in an abandoned vehicle near LaGuardia Airport in New York. Eileen LaPalma reports.
Police and the bomb squad moved in and sealed off several blocks around the National Car Rental Agency right across the street from LaGuardia Airport. It all centers around a Dodge Caravan that wasn't returned to the National Car Rental Agency. The vehicle was instead abandoned several blocks away. When workers from the agency went to recover it, they found a black bag inside with what appears to be road flares. A digital timing device was also attached. A loaded Tech 9 firearm also stashed away inside the car. Planes are still landing and taking off at LaGuardia Airport. Meanwhile, the bomb squad continues to examine the device. At LaGuardia Airport, Eileen LaPalmer, New York.
Secretary of State Colin Powell says no recommendations have been made to President Bush on whether to send U.S. peacekeeping troops to Liberia.
We realize that there is a severe humanitarian crisis emerging in Monrovia and in other parts of Liberia that has to be dealt with.
Earlier, White House spokesman Ari Fleischer said the president's decision may take some time. Fleischer said this is a matter that will continue to go for some ongoing review. President Bush is being pressured by international calls to send peacekeepers to help enforce the new ceasefire in the West African nation's 14-year civil war. Meanwhile, the Bush administration continues to insist that Liberian President Charles Taylor step down quickly.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Even though consumer fireworks are restricted in all 50 states and banned in 7, illegal fireworks are still causing big problems in the U.S. Ken Giles at the Consumer Product Safety Commission says products like quarter sticks, M80s, and cherry bombs are banned nationwide.
Well, it's outright against the law. And the Consumer Product Safety Commission tries to shut down the illegal market in fireworks each year.
Consumer protection agents do that via undercover buys of illegal fireworks and running stings against those suspected of selling them. Despite facing jail time for alleged insider trading, Martha Stewart is being inducted in the Nutley New Jersey Hall of Fame. But it doesn't come without some controversy. Members of the Domestic Divas Hometown Selection Committee insist they're honoring the woman who graduated from Nutley High School as Martha Kostra and went on to build a multimillion dollar lifestyle empire. Officials say that under the current circumstances surrounding Stewart, it was a difficult choice.
What's the one key ingredient missing from the relief of allergies that hurt? The pain reliever in Advil. Yes, Advil. New Advil Allergy Sinus is a one-of-a-kind formula that takes the pain out of allergies in a whole new way. A recent study showed that when Advil is combined with its allergy medicine, you get better relief of your worst allergy symptoms, all with less of the medicine that makes you drowsy. Advance to new Advil Allergy Sinus and stop allergies that hurt.
The front lawn might be plastic grass and the workers are scrambling, but the Constitution Center in Philadelphia will open tomorrow on July 4th with the Liberty Medal ceremonies. Joe Torsella of the center says it's an impressive tribute to the document that keeps the country going.
I'm excited is one emotion I'm having. relief is probably another, but mostly I'm proud. And I think the region ought to be proud.
The $185 million facility is designed to give visitors an interactive view of the Constitution with high-tech exhibits and stage shows that are centered around the Constitution. Stocks ended a short week on a negative note. Profit warnings and a surge in the unemployment rate pushed blue chips lower on the shortened trading day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 72 points to finish at 9070. The NASDAQ was down 15 points to 1663. The S&P 500 was down 8 points to end the week at 985. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting across America on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Radio Satellite Network, and streaming live on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org, where you can listen to the program any old time. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the chat link, and that'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button, and you will be in there, along with some of the finest people on planet Earth, having good, interesting, fascinating. Actually, one of the folks in there just referred me to the website, to a link about Pat Robertson and Liberia. Fascinating. We'll get to that a little later on. But right now, it's Thursday. This is the time for our segment where we talk about things that, you know, we thought we knew but we didn't know. And, could it be that...
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Is it? Robert Felix is an author of an extraordinary book, not by fire but by ice. Beginning with the dinosaur extinction of 65 million years ago, science writer Robert Felix has explored the relationship between mass extinctions, ice ages, and magnetic reversals, times when compasses would have pointed south instead of north. Mr. Felix, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks, Tom. I'm glad to be on with you.
I have to tell you, I read your book, it must be 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And my son, who was studying geology, or taking a class in geology, he's studying biology at the University of Georgia, came up and read the book, and he had, you know, this, you know, we had a couple of interesting conversations about it. One of the things that, well, first, let's, for our listeners, let's set this up in overview. You're suggesting, first of all, that there is a cycle of ice ages that the world experiences that are driven by volcanism, which indirectly are driven by the changes of the magnetic field of the Earth, which are driven by the activity of the core. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, it has to do with something called precession of the equinoxes. It's an absolutely natural cycle, and it does show up in the geologic record for millions of years. I know of no geologist in the world who would disagree with this cycle.
Right. I'm just curious if you've read the book, I'm forgetting the authors, but the one about the Sphinx that suggests that the Sphinx was 22,000 years old because of the way that things are positioned, pointing towards particular stars and all these kinds of things.
I don't remember the name of it either, maybe by Gordon Hancock, but I have read it, and I don't necessarily agree with how they reached their conclusions, but I think I agree with the final conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, they were suggesting something similar to that there are these cycles and that civilizations seem to rise and fall with them. And one of the hypotheses that you put forward in the book is that, and which has now been well demonstrated by science, and I'd like you to tell our listeners about how, is that ice ages don't happen gradually over thousands of years, as most of us learned in high school, but rather they come on rather suddenly in as few as 2 or 3 years, and typically no more than 10 to 20 years.
Absolutely. There was a study started in about 1989, a group called GRIP, Greenland Ice Core Project. But what they did is they drilled deep cores into the ice in central Greenland. They went down about 2 miles deep where they could look at ice that formed as much as 250,000 years ago. And they discovered that every single ice age, without exception, began in less than 20 years, usually in less than 10 years. But here's the catch. They did it from temperatures even as warm or even warmer than today.
Right.
So it just hits fast. And the latest publication on that was in Discover magazine just in September of last year. The scientists at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Cape Cod worry that something's going on and that we could do a transition in as little as 3 to 10 years from right now.
Right. Now that article in Discover follows William Calvin's book, A Brain for All Seasons, in which he lays out this idea that there's the great conveyor belt, this thermohaline circulation within the Atlantic, where less dense and warmer seawater comes in from the Pacific, goes up the coast of South America and it becomes the Gulf Stream, actually, and then goes up into the North Atlantic and then loses its heat, and that heat goes into the atmosphere and warms Europe, which is why London, with the latitude of Anchorage, has a very different climate than Anchorage, and then settles to the bottom of the sea and then goes out around the coast of Africa, and about 100 years later emerges near Hawaii. And there's this continuous circulation of water, and that circulation of water has been going on for 3.1 million years ever since the Isthmus of Panama closed up. It used to be that Pacific water came right through between North and South America, and that was really the beginning of the Ice Age 3.1 million years ago, and what we've been in are little cycles within the Ice Age, and we're in that right now, and that if enough of the Greenland ice shelf melts, or if enough of the ice up in the Arctic melts, it will disrupt that flow and stop the Atlantic from dissipating heat into the atmosphere and throw Europe into an ice age. Is that consistent with your understanding?
You have done your homework. Yes. All but one part of it is that I don't necessarily agree that the fresh water has to come from melting ice. That'll
shut this thing down, you mean?
Right. What I
you think it'll come from rain?
Because right now the ice sheets are not melting, they're thickening. But what I think is happening is that underwater volcanic activity, triggered by this 11,500-year cycle, underwater volcanic activity in the Pacific is heating the Pacific Ocean. It's causing much more evaporation, much more moisture to rise into the sky. That moisture is traveling across the northern hemisphere through the atmosphere. It's cooling down, and then it's falling into the Atlantic. And I believe that is what is a big contributor to the fresh water growth in the Atlantic Ocean, because the Pacific Ocean is warming, the Atlantic is cooling. There has to be a mechanism that's making that happen, and I think that's the mechanism.
Yeah, the waterfall. And this has the potential to shut down the Great Conveyor Belt, also known as the Gulf Stream, which which would then plunge the world into another ice age for another 11,500 years, more or less. And the last one occurred exactly 11,500 years ago, right?
Well, I shouldn't say exact. There's a that article in Discover magazine said 12,500 years ago. I've seen other articles that say 11,400 years ago. But 11,500,
Didn't they nail it with grit
more than others?
Yeah, so we're due for one any minute now.
We are.
Is that what you're
regardless
suggesting?
Of whether I'm right or whether, you know, others are. There's a climatologist in Vermont, Cliff Harris, who is ranked as one of the top 10 climatologists in the world. And he agrees with this cycle so strongly that he paid my way back to Vermont a couple of years ago to give a talk at one of his seminars. Now, he thinks it could begin, he thinks the next ice age could begin within 50 years. I think within 12 to 20, but geologically that's the same.
And this is going to be no small event. Now, another thing that I think I read in your book, because at the time I read your book, it was about the same time I read several other books of this type. I was working on a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, and I was incorporating some of those things into it.
Oh.
And my recollection is that, we've been looking for your book here. We got 6,000 books in this house, and it's just I haven't been able to find it in the last 3 days because I wanted to brush up before this interview. So my information is 5 years old. My apologies, but my recollection is that it was your book that talked about why granite looks uniquely the way it does, and that had to do with lightning with on the surface of the Earth. Am I remembering the correct book?
You are. I think that because our Earth is electromagnetic and there are always electrotelluric currents going through the Earth, and I'm hanging out there a little bit on this one, but I believe that during magnetic reversals, because ice ages do seem to correlate with magnetic reversals.
This is where the North Pole becomes the South Pole and vice versa.
Yeah, we don't tip upside down, as near as I can tell. The Earth still looks the same, but compasses back then, if they'd have been invented during a magnetic reversal, compasses would point toward Antarctica instead of toward the Arctic.
Right.
At the same time, I believe that huge electric currents must go through, you know, rush through the planet, and I think that has to do with some of the granitic.
So what this produced, my recollection of reading your book, is that this would produce literally multi-mile-wide sheets of lightning going across the surface of the Earth, melt so hot that it's melting rock.
No, that's not my book.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's too far for me to go.
All right. Then I'm mixing up memories.
That's okay. 5 years. I'm impressed that you remember.
That was a pretty scary one, actually. Somebody else's book. Okay, so where's the hope in this, Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire but by Ice? What can people do? Should we all be moving to the equator? Because what do we do?
Well, by the way, I do have a website, iceagenow.com, so that people can check more on this.
Thank you.
Well, for one thing, the entire world is not going to be covered with ice, and I want to make sure people know that. Is that, for instance, I live in the Seattle area. During the last ice age, Seattle was covered by four-fifths of a mile of ice, just straight up. And yet, 150 miles south of Seattle, temperatures were only about 7 degrees colder than they are right now. Scientists know that because they can see what kinds of plants grew in the area at that time. And on my website, I do have a map of the United States that shows the extent of glaciation during the last ice age. I can't imagine that this one will be much worse than, you know, it may go a little bit further south because about every 100,000 years there's a worse ice age, and we're due for that one. But
yeah, Louise says, what about Vermont, and do you have a guest room? I'm wondering why you haven't moved 150 miles south.
Well, I probably will eventually, but what happens during previous ice ages is the ice starts building up. They just start getting more and more snow in the far northeast. So it'll be starting in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
Far
that way you can watch a little
Vermont.
Bit. But this last winter, Newfoundland had record snows. So I think that we're seeing the beginning. Yes,
yeah.
Vermont during the last ice age was totally covered. There's glacial, the rocks out in the farmers' fields, the glacial erratuses that were dropped there. or New Hampshire, you can go there and look at Mount Monadnock, I think it is. But below the level, they know how high the ice was because below the level of the ice, the mountains have been scraped rather smooth. And above where the ice was, the mountains are still craggy. So they can actually see where that ice ended.
Because I don't want to have to rip you a new place to keep your remote. Now, fall in. Let the folks know and make it clear.
Sunday's the night of the season premiere.
Mail Call premieres this Sunday night at 10, 9 Central on the History Channel.
Summer goes way too fast. This time, baby, gonna make it last. Duracell Copper Top.
Inside specially marked Duracell Copper Top packs. Find a battery that says winner and $100,000 could be yours instantly. Plus, every pack has a coupon for a free Pepsi Twist.
Duracell Copper Top. We're gonna power up.
No purchase necessary. Game ends 1204. Must be a U.S. resident 18 years or older to play. Void where prohibited.
Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
I am driven. We have our winner. To overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carl.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program. Pardon the audio quality and the buzz right in the middle of the last segment there, just toward the end. Suddenly we heard a boom outside. We lost all power here in our studio in Vermont. And it turns out a truck out in front has hit a power line, and the power lines are down hanging in front of the building. And I'm talking on a telephone line that is draped over a power line, and it's got this horrible buzz on it. So I think at the bottom of the hour we may go to an archive segment. But we're talking with Robert Felix here, who is the author of Not by Fire but by Ice. And Robert, I missed the last couple of minutes of what you said, so I'm not sure how you were wrapping that up. But I'm wondering what the rest of the scientific community's response is to your book and the hypothesis that you're putting forward.
Silence. That's pretty much it. Now, you know, as I said, geologists are agreeing with it, and I'm getting lots of endorsements from geologists and from climatologists. But other branches of science, I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting feedback. I will say one thing. I quoted more than 200 people in the book, and no one has refuted their own quotes, so that's a good start.
Okay.
And the weather is cooperating. You know, right now, 99% of the world's glaciers are growing, even though the pictures we see on TV are of the 1% that are melting. And right now, temperatures, well, part of how I was wrapping up before is watch what happens in the north, far northeast, because last winter, Newfoundland had record snows. And
we had much less snow here in Vermont than we did the year before.
Less snow, but I think you had colder temperatures.
It was much colder, yeah. We had six straight weeks where it was below zero every single day.
Right. I keep track on my website of record low temperatures around the country. I let other people keep track of record highs. There's enough people doing that. But I have the record lows every day, and I noticed that Montpelier showed up many times.
Yeah.
I could, again, that's iceagenow.com.
iceagenow.com. Okay, great. Robert, thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate your joining us.
Tom, I really appreciate having me on.
And I encourage people to check out your book. I found it fascinating. Whether it's our fate or not, we shall see. But it's interesting food for thought. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. It's some of the email that we've gotten here. And then just to let you know, by the way, I think I mentioned yesterday, I just want to make sure everybody knows, our daughter's getting married this weekend, early next week. So the next couple of days, I'm going to be off the air. We're going to play a repeat segment. And actually, I think we're going to start one at the end of this segment here as well, so for the last half hour of the show, because this audio quality is so bad. It turns out a tree fell down on the power lines, and it's on fire outside the building here. And heaven only knows how long this phone line will even last. But anyhow, we'll be back next Thursday, and Rama Schneider is going to be filling in for me on Monday and Tuesday of next week. A couple of emails we got. Hank sent me one. Hank in Seattle. He says, "I think it's a mistake to assume that a significant number of the 97,000 Gore Nader votes in Florida would have gone to Gore. I believe a lot of people that voted for Nader would otherwise not have voted at all." And Hank, thanks for that sentiment. I frankly disagree. I have yet to meet a single Nader voter, and I know quite a few of them, who had never in the past voted. I think that, but I may be wrong, and you know, time will tell. I know that that's the hypothesis that Ralph is putting out there, and wouldn't it be nice if, you know, a third party actually brought people out? Probably Ross Perot did the same thing, if that's the case, and certainly that happened with the progressive populists back at the turn of the last century. Another email, Russ in South Carolina, he says, "If people truly believe that Nader had something to do with Bush getting elected president, then you are underestimating the trickery and treachery of the right wing in the media. It was a coup. To blame Nader is foolish. Don't believe everything you hear on TV, people. Good book, the best democracy money can buy." And I agree. Russ, thank you very much for that. Stuart writes in, he says, "I was listening to your program about the parallels between the Bush administration and Hitler, and it was chilling. I hope the American people will not be led like sheep." And legitimate concern there. Thanks a lot for being with us this week, and we're going to come back to an archive program here. We'll see you next Thursday. And in the meantime, have a great weekend and a wonderful holiday. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament?
How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Striking employees of New Jersey's Oyster Creek Power Plant have blown the whistle on what they say are serious safety problems at the nuclear facility. This week, Local 1289 of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers released internal documents detailing problems in the plant's radiation detection systems, along with its fire protection systems and its radioactive waste unit. Plant managers have downplayed the significance of the memos, questioning instead the timing of the union's release of the documents. But workers say such safety concerns are one of the primary reasons for their walkout, which has now entered its sixth week.
A wildcat strike of prison cooks at a medium security correctional facility in Colorado has led to a lockdown in part of the prison. The cooks, who are inmates themselves, notified prison guards at the Sterling Correctional Facility on Tuesday that they wouldn't be serving meals in protest of a cut in their wages, which went into effect with the start of the new fiscal year on Wednesday. Inmate workers used to receive up to $2 a day for their labor. They will now make 60 cents. The guards are trying to pin down the strike organizers, who, if caught, could be placed in segregated cells or transferred to a maximum security prison as punishment.
A massive strike of more than 1 million government employees brought life as usual in the Indian state of Tamil Nadu to a screeching halt this week with no end in sight. Unions representing public workers in the southern Indian province called the walkouts after government ministers unexpectedly slashed pensions and other employee benefits. Government officials say a budget crisis necessitated the cuts. They've invoked India's Essential Services Maintenance Act, which allows the government to arrest, imprison, fine, and fire striking public employees. Already more than 100 strike leaders have been rounded up.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
At 8 p.m. Eastern, fly Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from sea to shining sea, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. We have a special section every Thursday afternoon, try to bring you some information that you might not have read about in the corporate-controlled press or just in general. It's things that
that might be new and interesting, our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right.
You suspect you're out of sync and think that you're out of your mind.
Everything You Know Is Wrong?
Maybe. Henry Willis is the author of a book called Earth's Future Climate and several other books. And Henry is one of has written a book that is one of the, in my opinion, one of the best and most thorough with regard to what's going on with our climate, particularly because, Henry, you're talking about thermohaline circulation, which I just wrote about in a book that I have coming out this fall, and I haven't seen much in the press about. Henry Willis, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm really glad you're bringing up these topics. A couple of quick questions. First of all, Henry, Fred Singer's name keeps popping up. Are you familiar with Fred?
No, I'm not. I've heard about him, but I've not had the opportunity very much to read on him yet.
Okay, great. We can pass that then. The research agendas. In your book, you talk about how research agendas are being skewed by who's paying the bills. What's going on with this with regard to global warming?
Well, one of the reasons I got to writing my book was because I kept reading these very skewed research reports regarding agenda warming, especially regarding greenhouse gases. When I dug down to the bottom of it, I found out that there were corporates behind the research.
The research that was indicating
people were for the greenhouse gases because their academic agendas were supporting that position, or they were against it because they were basically hired by the big oil companies.
Right.
to say, no, greenhouse gases are not causing it. And the bottom line is, greenhouse gases have nothing to do with global warming.
Okay. Explain that.
Well, global warming is basically a natural global cycle going back about 350 million years. I recently spoke with a good friend of mine, Dr. Sandra Wood, at Cambridge University. And she reported this cycle back during the Devonian period, which is about 350 million years ago, where there was a rise and fall of the ocean's levels by 350 feet. This is the same thing that we have seen over the last 10,000 years on the Earth since the last ice age. It was a rise of the ocean level by 350 feet. And the cycle is basically a cycle called the Gliesberg cycle. And this is a 70-year cycle in the output of solar radiation from the sun. Right at the moment, and especially if you go on the Internet and read anything about solar flares, we are at the peak of the Gliesberg cycle. And this is a cycle that is well-published in scientific literature. It's a 70-year cycle. We're right at the peak of it. The peak means that this is a period of intense solar cycles. Now, if I may explain, everybody's aware that the sun goes through a 11-year cycle of solar flares.
Sunspot, right.
Now, sunspots, they're called. If you're at the bottom of the Gliesberg cycle, you are at the lower level of the sunspot cycle, which means the sunspot cycle that occurs at the bottom of the Gliesberg cycle is less than a sunspot cycle that occurs at the top of a Gliesberg cycle. We are at the top of a Gliesberg cycle, and this is a 70-year cycle. And you can see it. If you go back 70 years, you go back to about 1932, 1933, and we have the great, Dust Bowl.
Yeah, the Dust Bowl.
If you go back 35 years in the scientific literature, you will find out that the scientists are complaining about the Earth cooling, and they're claiming it's cooling,
right.
Guess what? Because the pollutants and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere are blocking the solar radiation from coming to the Earth.
But you're suggesting it's the Gliesberg cycle instead. So you're saying, Henry, let me get this straight. You're saying that the increase in carbon dioxide, for example, in the atmosphere from 280 parts per million to over 340 parts per million over the last 35, 40 years is having no effect on the atmosphere, the atmospheric temperature?
Well, no, it's not. Because if you look at the paleological history of the Earth, we are actually carbon dioxide deficient compared to past ages. If you go back to the Cretaceous, when everybody claims that great asteroid hit the Earth, there was 28 times the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as there is today. We are
sure,
actually,
it was much hotter, and we couldn't have survived in that atmosphere.
Well, we could have survived in that atmosphere. The human race, I'm not a gloom and doom person.
Mm-hmm.
We could have survived in the much warmer, hotter, moister atmosphere that there was. We would not have been as comfortable as we are today, and it was a completely different Earth than we see today. But we could have survived, and what I'm saying is that the Earth that we are seeing today does not have anywhere near the amount of carbon dioxide that historically, if you go back millions of years, that the Earth
Yeah, but
has.
We're not going back millions of years, Henry. We're living here right now. You're suggesting that the 3,000 scientists who signed, or 2,300 scientists who signed the IPCC document from the UN saying that global warming and greenhouse gases are connected are wrong, and you're right?
Yes, I am. I'll put it to you very bluntly.
And you're basing this on historic weather cycles?
No, I'm basing this on a couple of principles. I'm basing it on, one, first off, correlation is not causation. These scientists are
not always, but sometimes.
Well, sometimes...
Sometimes correlation will indicate causation.
Sometimes it does.
I see somebody, injured in a, and their car is crumpled around them. I think I can reasonably infer they just had an accident.
Well, I based my opinion upon a couple of scientists in Denmark who have traced this cycle back to about 1500. The people's names are Sindvark and Christensen. They're two Danish scientists who did a very exacting study on this. And they put their correlation at an 85% probability, which is much, much higher than the 3,000 scientists who said that it's greenhouse gases that are causing this. And
I see.
And the fact is that the source of all energy to the Earth is the sun. The sun gives radiation. That radiation translates to heat, and heat translates to an excited climate. Excited climate means a climate that is full of activity, such as the recent tornadoes that we saw in the Midwest of the United States, such as the current flooding that we are seeing.
The warmer the atmosphere gets, the more energy it holds, the more moisture it can hold, which is itself a greenhouse gas, and the more violent your weather is going to be. I mean, this is well documented.
And what a lot of people have missed in this concept of greenhouse gases is the fact that water vapor is the most powerful greenhouse gas that we have.
But water vapor is not something that you produce, and you can produce water vapor all day long, and it's not going to change atmospheric levels of water vapor, because the ability of the atmosphere to hold water vapor is a function of its temperature. It's not the amount that's being produced. I mean, if the atmosphere can hold more water, it'll take it. It'll take it from the oceans.
Precisely, and the more water vapor it holds, the more heat the atmosphere will hold.
That's right. So you get into this vicious cycle.
What you do not look at is carbon dioxide and methane, but you look at the water vapor. And the water vapor is a function of how much heat you're getting from the sun.
So you're saying we should just ignore carbon dioxide and methane?
No, you don't ignore them. They are important greenhouse gases. But what I am saying is that...
So they do have an effect.
Is what I'm saying is currently, based upon historical evidence, we have much lower carbon dioxide and methane in the atmosphere than we have had
than during the Cretaceous period.
Even if you go back 10,000 years, it's much, much less. And there is also very good historical evidence to suggest that global
warming... Henry, I got to tell you, this sounds like crackpot science to me.
It's not. I have very carefully documented this.
Okay, Henry, hang on just a second. Storm in Carbondale would like to add to the conversation. Storm, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi.
Boy.
Well, the evidence that I see indicates to me that weather is very cyclical over huge periods of time. The evidence I see... The most northernmost settlement on Earth is in Norway, and there's a little town up in the Arctic Circle in Norway where they're mining coal today.
Right.
And, of course, we all know what coal is formed from.
Storm, if you look at that, that goes back to the period of time before Panama erupted and shut down the flow of warm water from the Pacific between the northern and southern American continents. This was the beginning of the Ice Age, 3.1 million years ago, when Panama closed off as a result of tectonic activity, shut down that flow of current, and then the Great Conveyor Belt began in the Atlantic, which has been cycling on and off ever since, throwing us into ice ages and bringing us out of ice ages. We're still in an ice age right now. We're just in this 10,000-year warm spot in it.
Well, Tom, there's also been a huge seam of coal discovered in Antarctica.
Sure, you'll find it all over the place.
Well, doesn't that indicate that there was tropics? There were tropics in those in the Arctic, in the Antarctic, million years ago or better?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that indicate that weather's cyclical?
Well, yes and no. Yes, I agree. The weather is cyclical and temperature is cyclical, and there's enormous evidence for this. I mean, the Greenland ice core drilling that was done just a couple of years ago, dramatic evidence of the cyclical nature of weather. I don't disagree with Henry on that. But I think that to discard the billions of tons of carbon dioxide that we're throwing into the atmosphere every year and say, well, that's of no consequence. This is just, you know, cycles. I think that that's irresponsible.
Well, I see your point, Tom, but do you think we should sign on to the Kyoto Treaty?
You know, I'm not well educated enough about the Kyoto Treaty to speak to that, but I think that anything that we can do that would reduce carbon dioxide down to some sort of baseline levels, at the very least, following the principle that you do the least harm possible, would just make sense. We don't know the result of all of this carbon dioxide. Let's say that Henry, let's say that you're right, and that there's only a 15% chance that carbon dioxide is influencing this. If I took you to a restaurant and I said, Henry, there's a 15% chance this meal is going to kill you, would you eat it?
Well, I don't think so, but I think what people are confusing here is the difference between greenhouse gases and pollutants. I'm not saying that all this carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is not harmful. If you go into any large major city anywhere in the world, you will see a lot of pollutants in the air that are caused by carbon dioxide.
It's
nitrogen,
mostly particulate stuff.
Particulate stuff. And this is being more and more demonstrated as being extremely harmful and carcinogenous to human beings, causing cancer. I'm all for cleaning up the atmosphere. What I'm saying is, before we go overboard and say that, you know, carbon dioxide is the cause for greenhouse gases, I'm saying be careful before you yell wolf here. There is very strong evidence that it is not the cause for climate change. I'm not saying it's not the cause for a lot of health problems.
Right. Okay. Well, Henry, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Storm, thanks for your call. I appreciate your calling. And Henry Willis, the author of Earth's Future Climate. And thank you for your comments, for your philosophy, your point of view. And
you know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right.
You suspect you're out of sync and think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Maybe. What do we know about climate change? There is a whole industry in the United States devoted to promoting the idea that we really don't know what's going on with the climate. And I would suggest to you that much of that industry has its own agenda. I don't think that there are any folks out there who, of the many scientists, legitimate, credible climate scientists, who are looking at these kinds of issues and saying, just purely on an academic level, people who do this for a living, who are trained in this field, who are saying, well, you know, maybe there's a danger here just for the heck of it, or for personal gain. There's no personal gain in it to them. They're just reporting the science. So, anyhow, thank you, Henry. A $350 billion tax rebate. I got an email today from, I won't name the person, but I got an email called Tax Cut, and it's a little cartoon. There's a guy sitting in his chair, with a pipe in his mouth, and it's a little piece of clip art. It's nicely done. He says, a $350 billion tax rebate. And then he says, the average taxpayer will receive about $400, which is the statistics that the Bush administration has been putting out. If there are 260 million average taxpayers, which there are, at $400 each, if you do the math on that, it adds up to about $104 billion. But it's a $350 billion tax rebate. So in the last panel, you see this little thought balloon over his head, and he says, I wonder who gets the other $246 billion. Philip in Florida, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. We've got about a minute left, but if you want to hang on over the break, we can take
there?
This if it runs long. Yeah, I am. Philip, welcome.
I had a call because it was very ironic. The gentleman who just spoke was from Carbondale, Illinois.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're pointing out the irony of it.
And I went to university in Carbondale, Illinois, at Southern Illinois University.
Right.
When I went in the late 60s, Carbondale had a very moderate climate.
Mm-hmm.
It was warm. It was really rather warm. We didn't have, maybe we had snow once or twice a year.
Philip,
it was really
that music means
climate.
We're running up
That's
against
changed.
The edge of the edge of this break. Philip, if you can hold on for just a minute, actually it'll be about 3 minutes here. We'll be back right after this break. Stick around. We'll return soon.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Fun tila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fun tila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George.
message, God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hunt Wins. It's something different. It's from IE America and Wins.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We've got just a few minutes left here in the hour. Philip in Florida, my apologies for the tyranny of the clock there. It runs up against all of us and bumps us off from time to time. But you finish your thought there. I wasn't quite sure where you were going with it.
Yeah, I heard this man say he was from Carbondale, and I went to university there and had a very moderate climate. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to places like Chicago, Detroit, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's changed. The weather there has changed. It's cold and it's uncomfortable. It's not a good climate anymore.
Hmm.
And it comes from the very town that guy is living in.
Well, wasn't our guest who was from Carbondale. That was Storm, who was a caller from Carbondale. Our guest, I'm not sure where he was from.
Yeah, Carbondale is in southern Illinois, not far from Paducah, Kentucky, and about an hour and a half from St. Louis.
Yeah, we're on WINI there.
Oh, you are?
I believe is the call letters.
Yeah, it's a very large university down there.
The
weather used to be terrific, and it sure isn't anymore, not during the winter.
Well, hopefully it'll improve. We'll find out. Philip, thank you for your call and thank you for your comments. We've been talking about a wide variety of stuff here. Is democracy served by our educational system? But I got an email here from Dave, one of the folks who participates regularly in our chat room. In fact, I think he's in there right now. About a dozen folks in there, almost. If you go to TomHartman.com and then click on the radio show link and click on the chat room link, and that drops you into the International Trade Forum in CompuServe, you click on the chat button, and boom, you're in. And we do this every day for the noon to 2 Eastern time, whatever that may be in your particular time zone. Anyhow, he says, a large multinational company I worked for had a budget crisis every year around August. They would lay off most of the contract workers to cut costs. He said, it's interesting that they would lay off people, but continue to pay the leases on the now idle computers and the equipment those people used. The equipment was more important than the workers. It's truly an outrage against America's workers. Anyway, he says, it's interesting that we understand the issue from two slightly different points of view. And he says, I've been enjoying the chat room. Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate that. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. See you tomorrow.
listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've got chagrin alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. There is a reward of $25 million for information that leads to the capture of Saddam Hussein or for information proving he is dead. The U.S. is also offering $15 million for the same information regarding each of Saddam's two sons. American troops could soon be making their way to the West African nation of Liberia. The Pentagon plan calls for as many as 2,000 U.S. soldiers to head to the country to quell fighting in their 14-year-old civil war. Former Major League Baseball star Jose Canseco will spend the holiday weekend with his family after being granted a weekend furlough from a South Florida prison.
The former American League MVP has been in jail for the past 2 weeks after allegedly violating his probation for a second time after testing positive for illegal steroids. However, Judge Leonard Glick granted the beleaguered ex-slugger a four-day pass on Wednesday to allow him to spend the holiday with his six-year-old daughter and his ex-wife.
I don't do this very often. It happens very rarely. And it's not for you. It's for the child. It's also for your ex-wife in the hope that maybe there can be some reconciliation.
The 39-year-old was serving house arrest stemming from battery charges following a brawl at a South Beach nightclub. Canseco must return to